This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft. The Planet Microcap Podcast is brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of StockNews.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review Magazine, the leading magazine covering the microcap stock market. Each and every week, we will be bringing to you news, information, and candid interviews with experts discussing all things microcap. But what is microcap? We're talking about investing. Specifically, investing in the stock market. Even more specifically, investing in small, emerging growth public companies. We define microcap companies as a public company that has a market capitalization under $300 million. The smaller the market capitalization, the riskier the investment, and the greater the potential returns. We'll be getting into more definitions as we go forward, but first, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in New York City, where my dad was an investment banker on Wall Street who specialized in funding microcap companies, and my mom was a producer for the Financial News Network, among various national broadcast productions. Yes, you could say I've been genetically engineered to host a podcast about microcap investing. Microcaps and entertainment have always been a big part of my life. I graduated from UC San Diego with a degree in communications, and while I was in school, I studied abroad in Buenos Aires, Argentina, taking classes in South American history and economics. I then did two summer internships at two firms on Wall Street, where I was a junior research analyst charged with the task of looking up information about microcap companies. And during that time, I came to realize that information was difficult to find. It was there, but not really centralized anywhere. And fortunately for me, my family were pioneers in giving microcap companies a voice. It intrigued me so much that I dove into the family business, focused on delivering news and information about the microcap market. In a little over 4 years, I'm now the chief operating officer of SNN Incorporated and editor-in-chief of StockNewsNow.com. Now you're probably asking yourself, what is a podcast and what makes it different than radio or television? Well, it's my generation's platform for information. I listen to podcasts daily to learn, entertain, and find outlets that satisfy my litany of interests. It's a bit more relaxed than terrestrial radio and much more accessible to the curious minds in that they are conversations about answering questions that you really didn't know where to find the answers to. My first interview is with a very special guest, Ian Castle, founder of the Microcap Club and full-time microcap investor. Please enjoy this interview as it's a great introduction to microcap investing with someone who I admire and respect in the business. Following our interview, we'll have our first Ask Mr. Wall Street segment, where SNN's founder and CEO, Shelley Kraft, will answer one question from our viewers each week. So sit back, relax. Thank you so much for listening, and here we go. But first, a quick word from our sponsor.
A comprehensive streaming of market data, research, and portfolio management application for you. QuoteStream is a real-time streaming quotes and research system designed for the day trader, retail investor, institutional investor, both new and old. QuoteStream offers low latency, tick-by-tick data, advanced charting, comprehensive technical analysis, news, and research. With no software to install and no servers to maintain, QuoteStream is the ideal solution for you. Go to StockNewsNow.com and start your free 7-day trial. Click the QuoteStream banner in the header or real-time quotes in the nav bar to get started building and managing your investments.
For our next guest on the Planet Microcap Podcast, I'd like to welcome Mr. Ian Castle, the founder of the Microcap Club, and to my knowledge, the guy I turn to, you know, when I'm looking for information on investing in microcap stocks. You know, he's been writing this blog for, about five years?
Yeah, it's around 5 years now.
Around 5 years. And every time he posts something new or he has an interview, you know, I must say, as a young millennial in, you know, when I was getting into microcap investing, I listened and read his stuff, and you know, I'm forever grateful that he decided to do something like this to provide a forum for other microcap investors to trade ideas and to share their experiences. So, Ian, welcome to the program, and thank you for speaking with me.
Sure, it's great to be here. Looking forward to talking to your audience.
So, for this interview, you know, in preparation for this interview, I listened to your interview with Mike Didi King. I know that's not his real name, but I just think it's funny calling him Mike Didi King. I listened to your radio interview with him talking about, so you want to be a full-time microcap investor. So I want to kind of do a spin on that and call this interview the, so you want to be a microcap investor. Because, and the reason for our podcast and why we're doing this is because this is an educational tool to help millennials and anyone in particular, you know, who is interested in investing in microcaps, to learn a little bit more about what the heck this niche of the stock market is and how you can be successful in it. So, you know, to before we get into the specifics, can you provide a very brief background?
Sure. No problem. You know, I'm 34 years old. I live in Pennsylvania. I'm a full-time microcap investor. And so what that means is, you know, I make my income exclusively investing in microcap stocks. And I've been a full-time microcap investor since late 2008, actually right in the height of the economic crisis back then. And, you know, really started Microcap Club in 2011 to be a place for experienced microcap investors to kind of share ideas and to be an idea generator for the membership base. And really, the club's been around since 2011. It's going on 4 years now, and we have around 150 members, you know, ranging from, you know, retail investors up to institutions as well. And really, our number one priority is finding great companies early and trying to find these small public companies called microcaps before they become larger companies. And it's just a great place to invest. And I can probably go down another rabbit trail here, but the reason why the microcap space is so unique is if you were to look at all of the public companies that exist on North America, so the Canadian exchanges as well as the U.S. markets, you have around 23,000 public companies that exist out there. And around 50%, around 12,000 of these companies are considered microcaps. So those are public companies that have market capitalizations under $300 million. And so there's a full breadth of companies, you know, when you're looking at 12,000 of them. And there's just a bunch of dynamics that make the microcap arena a very interesting spot to look to, you know, outperform the marketplace. And, you know, a couple of them are the fact that, quite frankly, a lot of larger kind of institutions can't invest in microcaps because they are illiquid small companies. You know, if you're managing $1 billion and you're, you know, you can't really invest in a $50 million market cap company, you would buy the whole company a few times over probably, not to mention the illiquidity that a lot of these microcaps have. And so what you have is sort of a dynamic where a lot of the larger, maybe thought of as more intelligent or more experienced investors that go on to manage larger amounts of capital, they can't invest in these small companies. And so you always have this inefficiency that exists down in the microcap space because, you know, just the larger monies can't invest in these companies. And you can also find some really good quality companies that you invest in them early. If they grow, you know, they can have some big moves, and that's why we focus on the microcap space.
So, Ian, you know, before I get into my next question, you bring up an interesting idea. Why can't larger institutions invest in more liquid, smaller microcap stocks?
Well, you know, some of the institutions actually have rules that they can't invest in companies under a certain stock price, or you know, especially due to illiquidity. I mean, if you can imagine a company that trades $5,000 worth of stock a day, you know, to an institution managing even $200 million, you know, $1 billion, $5 billion, it would be impossible to acquire a position. And even if they did acquire a position in the company, you know, it's so illiquid they would never be able to buy their full position or get out of it, and it wouldn't have that big of an impact on their portfolio because they're managing so much capital. So you do have some institutions, smaller institutions, that do invest in microcaps, but even those institutions are more prone to look at listed microcaps, meaning microcaps that are traded on the NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange, that normally are
I see. So, okay, so to continue along with some of the questions I had for you this morning, you know, I make the argument that investing in microcaps is a great place to build wealth as a millennial. Why potentially microcaps could be a place to build wealth for millennials?
Well, you know, I think it is a good place for investors to find undiscovered quality businesses. And really those last two words are the important ones. You know, there's plenty of microcap companies. In fact, if you were to look at the 12,000 microcap companies that exist, that figure I gave out a few minutes ago, about 15% of those 12,000 microcap companies are profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the first thing I would say to an investor that's new to the microcap space and perhaps new to investing is, you know, you really want to dive into the quality of the business and really stay away, especially in the outset or of looking at these companies, staying away from companies that aren't profitable, viable businesses. And there's plenty of those companies that exist in the microcap space. And, you know, because, you know, once you kind of hone in on an area, maybe even an industry, and then funnel it down to a few companies that you're interested in based on some quantitative factors, you know, such as their revenue growth and income growth, what have you, you know, then you can really, really find companies that are trading at, you know, maybe a half or a third of their, call it, multiple compared to their larger company counterparts that trade, you know, that are small caps or mid caps or large caps. And that's really the opportunity in the microcap space, because there's so many companies and because there's so few people looking at these microcap companies, you find these opportunities that are just trading at ridiculously low valuations compared to if they were maybe slightly larger company, you know, trading as a small cap or mid cap company. And so there's definitely a lot of opportunities out there that present themselves. And but I also don't want to say that it is easy. It's something that mm-hmm. I'm still learning. You know, I've been doing this full time for going on, I guess, 7 years, and I've been investing in microcaps for 15 years. And it's something every day I'm continuing to learn more about how to invest in microcaps and how to really just learn from my mistakes and not making the same mistakes again. And so, you know, unfortunately, the way I learned and the way a lot of people learn is just by losing their money over and over again. That's what I had to do. And, you know, it's not like I went out in the outset and decided, hey, I want to lose money today. But it's just something, you know, a lot of these lessons that you learn in investing and specifically in microcap investing, you can't learn in a book or you can't learn from even from me. You learn from experience. And a lot of times the best educator or the best teacher is lost. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's, you got to learn just through, you know, the perils of losing money too from time to time.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate part of the business, and you know, I've been there. You know, I'm still learning. I've made my mistakes. You know, you say there's a little over 12,000 microcap companies, and you know, there's then you got to make the argument now is how do you find them? Like how because especially when you're just starting out, you know, I remember from your radio interview, you know, you have your various, you know, quantitative metrics that you use to narrow down your search. You know, when you're first starting out, you know, you're kind of like, all right, let's do this. You know?
So. Exactly. It really is a combination of things. It's a combination of just screening per cap companies in the microcap space based on some quantitative measures that you think that are important, combined with word of mouth, combined with public message boards. You know, obviously, for me, it's Microcap Club. We have a lot of smart people in there sharing new ideas. It's really a combination of things that you know, your goal is to try to find these great companies before anybody else, and obviously before the institutions, but even before other retail investors, if you're a retail investor, because like I said, these companies are very illiquid. And so, right. You know, if you have somebody that wants to buy even $100,000 or $200,000 worth of stock, you know, you want to buy it before that guy, because that guy could perhaps move the price up to a point where, you know, you don't want to invest in it at that price. And mm-hmm. So it really is kind of a competition, if you will,
if you're just getting into it, like, how do you suggest finding new ideas on microcap companies?
You know, there's some decent free screening tools that people can use. I know Yahoo Finance has one. Mm-hmm. There's a couple even inexpensive ones that do, you know, that you might pay $30 a month for, that really lets you kind of put some quantitative metrics in. You know, say you're looking for companies that are growing 20% per year for the last 3 years, that have a certain gross margin, that have no debt, that have a share structure, you know, that have less than 20 million shares outstanding, you know, in a specific industry. You know, it lets you kind of funnel those companies down. But even, you know, I subscribe to the best stock screener out there, literally, and there's still things that fall through the cracks, and that's why there's never, I can't really say that there's one best way to find these companies. It's really a combination of several different ways, you know, and then, you know, to be honest with you, some word of mouth is, and the club has been the best avenue for me to find new ideas. Mm-hmm. And not to make it sound like a sales pitch, but, you know, the club has been in existence for 4 years. It's a membership-based club, but actually one of the new features we're doing later this year is actually being able to have a subscriber option to where people can view our members' forums, to view the discussions, to view the companies that we're talking about on the club. And that's actually a product offering that's going to be coming out probably, you know, later, or another 4 or 5 months, that's going to be available to folks. And so I think that's going to be a huge tool for people to be able to see what the best microcap investors are talking about currently.
Very, very cool. I actually look forward to being a subscriber to that. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure you were very reluctant to want to do that at a certain point, because, you know, you value finding the undiscovered ones, and you turn to the to the club to get those ideas. But at a certain point, you know, you want to get the good businesses word out there. You know, you want to understand, and you want the world to understand, you know, these are the guys who, you know, within our club, and we're very experienced microcap investors, you know, these are the different companies that we're looking at, you know.
Correct.
So it makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we probably profile on the club, there's usually between 5 and 10 new companies profiled every month. Mm. So, you know, not all of them are going to be winners. We've profiled plenty of losers, you know, it's just what happens. But it's more or less, you know, when you look at the ocean of microcap stocks of 12,000, you know, this isn't going to be a newsletter service where we're telling you these are the best ones.
Right.
It's not like that at all. We're not interested in giving people fish. You know, we're interested in helping them and teaching them how to fish. And so really we're just kind of turning this ocean of microcap stocks, trying to turn it into a pond.
Right.
For folks to be able to look and see who the best fishermen are out of that pond as well.
Right. Once you find those, you know, let's say those first, you know, 10, 15 companies that you're potentially interested in maybe taking a position in or wanting to find out more information after you did your quantitative analysis, you know, how do you assess great management, especially right off the bat? You know, when you're very green, you know, it's probably tough to figure out, you know, of course they're going to tell you everything you want to hear, you know, but from your experience, how were you able to, you know, develop your instincts, so to speak, and figure out who those great, you know, management teams are?
Well, that's a great question. It is tough. And like you said, everybody does kind of quantitative due diligence, meaning looking at publicly accessible, whether that's, you know, SEC filings, PRs, you know, the internet. You know, what I've found is everybody does that. And so you really need to find an edge in investing. And that's why you need to dive a little bit deeper and do what you've talked about, which is qualitative due diligence, which is talking to management teams. And I spend And that strategy works when it works, and then it really doesn't work when it doesn't work. And, you know, after a few learning lessons of investing in a few companies that, let's just say, management didn't do 1% of what they've told investors they would do, you know, it lets you take a step back and say, okay, what's a better way of doing this? And so really how my investment philosophy has evolved is I usually talk to management, really get a good feel for them. I even travel out to their facility to meet with them, and usually their board as well. Mm-hmm. Do a tour of their facility if they have one. And really that helps me create get a conviction level about this management team and their ability to execute their plan. And usually I buy, a starter position in the company at that point in time. And then what I do then is I really track the company's performance and I buy more as I see the management team execute. Mm-hmm. And then I will buy more once they execute more. And so I have no problems with averaging up in a company. In fact, all of my biggest winners that I've had, whether they're companies that went up, 500% or 1,000% or 1,500% over several years, I was averaging up in those companies constantly. And so, the best advice I give somebody is, once you find a company you like, and once perhaps you have a conversation with management, is really kind of let them execute, let them prove themselves to you before you make it a substantial position in the portfolio.
Do you think before starting out, most of my friends who are interested in getting started in investing, especially in microcaps, and even myself when I was first starting, I felt not only do you feel awkward in talking to, these older guys who or girls that women and that have been doing it a long time, and you're somewhat intimidated by, speaking with them. But even before you have the opportunity to go and tour the facilities, because that seems like totally far-fetched, when you're in your first year or so in microcap investing, is there a way in which that, you could recommend, when you're looking into making your first investment without having to do that? Maybe it's, talking with management and then, kind of tracking their performance before you make your first investment?
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. You really can't expect to, from your very first, and you got to look at it from the company's perspective. If you're a new investor and you're investing a few hundred dollars or a few thousand, you don't really want to be wasting the management's time either.
Right.
With that. And so a lot of times you do, it's more of a, you're stepping back and watching the company execute or not execute, before even reaching out, or maybe you're able to get on one of the company's quarterly conference calls.
Mm-hmm. That's
and use
a good
that
idea.
As an avenue in the Q&A during that quarterly conference call to get some of your questions answered. And then that really kind of helps build your confidence level, and hopefully, by the time your capital base builds enough to where, you're kind of substantial enough where you can kind of do outreach to management teams and have conversations to them, and or even go do company visits, you have a pretty good idea of the types of due diligence you need to do beforehand. But you're exactly right. If you're a new investor, you can't really expect management to be that open to you right away. But what I've found is a lot of management teams are open. Mm-hmm. And, the best advice I can give to somebody that is at that point where, they feel they should reach out to management and have a conversation with them is always be prepared. Mm-hmm. Always, when you go into a conversation with management, do as much surface due diligence as you possibly can and ask quality questions. What I found is management teams are very receptive to investors that have really good questions for them, because they know that you've done, your due diligence. You don't want to get on there and say, well, can you tell me about your business? that's not a good way to start. Have specific questions. And I think what you'll find is management teams really opening up to you as you continue that conversation with them.
Isn't that the coolest part about microcaps? For me, that's one of the coolest part is that you have the opportunity to actually meet with management. They're accessible. When you it's not, you don't see Mark Zuckerberg picking up investor calls, from me or you,
Absolutely.
That's
what drew me to microcaps way back in 2000. The first management team I ever met with face to face was actually the CEO of XM Satellite Radio, believe it or not.
Cool.
Way back in 2001, and I was in college, and I took a bus up to New York City to meet with the CEO, and I had fake business cards drawn up and everything to get into this conference.
What, Vistaprint?
No, it's XM Satellite Radio.
No, I mean the cards.
Yeah. I probably did use Vistaprint, like but yeah, so I had a meeting with the management team, and you know, I was just blown away at the fact that I could just sit across the table from this person and ask them questions about the business, and it ended up being, you know, a big success story for me that, you know, ended up, you know, I think it ended up going up, I think it went from $1.78, I still remember it, and I went to $34 in about 15 months, and it was just a huge winner, as much luck as skill in that one, and I'll admit that, but it's one of those things that kind of started my love affair with the microcap space, is really that accessibility to management teams, because just like you said, no, it's not like I'm going to be picking up the phone and talking to Tim Cook of Apple or whoever it is.
I was going to say, you accurately predicted Howard Stern moving to a XM satellite radio.
Exactly. That helped.
So, okay. So, you know, to kind of wrap up a little bit, I wanted to get some books or some places that you would recommend, you know, a beginning microcap investor to start reading, listening to, you know, before or even while they're in their learning process of beginning, you know, to invest in microcaps. Perfect. Okay. So, you know, I think that pretty much wraps up the interview. I'm sure we'll be talking more in the future because, you know, I have so many more questions and, you know, as we continue along with the podcast, as I said, this is an educational podcast and, you know, there's going to be more and more questions that are going to be coming up, you know, that will be more specific as to, you know, what we're going to be doing and how to approach investing in microcaps. But, you know, for this first one, Ian, thank you so much for coming on and doing this with me. And, you know, I really do look forward to the next one. And and give yourself a little plug on, I know you've been plugging the Microcap Club the whole time, but, you know, give yourself one last plug on the website and maybe even upcoming events you'll be at.
Sure. Now, if anybody wants to learn more about really microcap investing, you can go to microcapclub.com. We produce educational articles on how we do what we do on Microcap Club, and those are open to the public. You can find those there, such as how do you talk to management, how do you have your first phone conversation with management, things of that nature you can find on the website. And you know, I often attend LD Micro at a conference, and I'm probably going to a few more this fall as well, so hopefully I'll see you at one of those events as well in person.
Sounds good. All right, Ian, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, I'm Shelley Kraft, and this is Ask Mr. Wall Street. This week's question is, should I diversify my microcap portfolio? As a stockbroker, I always recommended diversification and building a portfolio of every one of my recommendations. This self-fulfilling prophecy assured me of a steady income, and if it worked out profitably, everybody wins. I also recommended holding on to losers and winners until the time came to move some positions around. I preached low expectations and not using food money. So the attitude was positive and hope supreme. In the day, there was little or no information available, so if I was right, I was a genius, and when wrong, I was a bum. As long as clients spoke to me, I made a living. Today, however, diversification means so much more than sprinkling a few dollars over 10 symbols, hoping for one 10-bagger so that dogs didn't matter. Today, it's a lot easier to find information, but harder to build a diversified portfolio and watch it. So many opt to not bother and leave it to the fund managers to do the dirty work. To directly answer the question, however, I suspect this investor is self-directing her own portfolio. I am not sure what positions are sitting in the portfolio today, but diversification has morphed into sector weighting, sophisticated buy-sell signals, and it requires a plan, strategy, and philosophy. Are you an active trader or long-term investor? Do you like to read? Do you have belief in yourself, even though you listen to CNBC all day? Do you consider a stock the same way you look at your significant other? Some investors still use the buy and close your eyes method of stock picking. For me, that's leaving too much to risk. What I am asking myself these days is whether to pile into a hot sector like cybersecurities or biotech stocks, disregarding all of the other sectors as the stocks are ripping higher as you read this. I think microcap portfolios have similarities to small caps and higher, but have unique qualities that are unlike their larger cap cousins. The qualities range from no revenues to historical losing quarters. I sometimes call these story stocks. I do that because they have good stories, make encouraging press releases, and move on any news in their sector. Certainly, waiting long positions in hot sectors makes so much more sense today rather than dragging down performance in non-performing sectors. It's definitely worth a try.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I hope you walked away from our first episode having gained a little bit of knowledge about investing in this exciting space. I know I did. We'll be publishing a new episode each week, and you can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast, go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap Podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap Podcast. Next week, we'll be doing our first week in review on the podcast, answer a new question from Ask Mr. Wall Street, and have another exciting guest to discuss all things microcap. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of stocknewsnow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the first episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Have a great week, everyone.